Welcome to another episode of Counsel for the State. I'm Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin. Counsel for the State is a podcast produced by my office. Our goal with each episode is to shed a little more light on the office, Idaho law, and other aspects of state government. By doing so, we hope to increase transparency and further your understanding. Thank you for listening, and remember, all of our past episodes are available at ag.idaho.gov. Here's Counsel for the State host, Scott Graff.
Welcome to Counsel for the State. In the fall of 2019, the state of Idaho and the Office of the Attorney General finalized an agreement to partner with the Federal Social Security Administration to create a new investigative unit in Idaho with one overarching goal: to ensure integrity and deter fraud in federal and state disability benefit programs. The Cooperative Disability Investigations Program, or CDI, is made up of both federal and state Attorney General Office investigators who look into allegations of fraud in the Social Security Administration's disability programs, as well as other related federal and state benefit programs. This arrangement has proven to be very successful, which has helped ensure that these benefits are being used by those they're intended for, and the taxpayers save money when those who shouldn't get these benefits don't. Joining us on Counsel for the State to talk more about the CDI unit is Don Jefferson. Don is Deputy Assistant Inspector General for CDI Investigations. He joins us today via Zoom. Don, welcome to Counsel for the State.
Hey, good morning. Well, it's good afternoon where I am, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, and Don, by the way, is joining us from Baltimore for our conversation today. So, Don, we really appreciate your time. We're looking forward to your expertise and learning a little bit more about CDI as we introduce it to our audience here in the state of Idaho. So, obviously, I just briefly addressed the purpose of the unit in our introduction. Can you talk more a little bit about its mission?
Sure. The CDI program, accomplishes its missions by reviewing questionable disability claims, and investigating cases of suspected disability fraud, with the goal of, stopping payments before they're actually issued, or as soon as, the unit determines that fraud exists in a particular claim. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Sometimes it's easier to stop payments or fraudulent payments before they go out versus doing the pay and chase. So that's one of the things or benefits of the CDI program. We really focus in on both aspects, which would be preventing those payments from going out if there's fraud suspected, in the disability claim. The other benefit to, the CDI program is, we look to protect the public's interest and integrity in SSA's disability program. As you mentioned in your introduction, what we want to do and make sure that happens is that those individuals who are entitled to disability payments, that they receive it, and then those individuals who are not, that they don't. That is a crucial part and vital role of the CDI program and its mission. And again, as you also indicated, it's a joint effort between federal and state agencies. The goal there is we're able to pool resources to prevent and detect fraud in SSA's programs. When you're bringing resources from the state and the federal level to combat fraud, there's benefits for both programs, both at the federal level as well as the state level.
Let's talk a little bit about the structure. Who makes up the CDI unit? How is it structured?
Well, I'll tell you, we have a number of units across the country, and, some of them are of different sizes, but the basic, typical structure of our CDI units, you'll have an OIG special agent from our office who serves as a team leader. And then you also have an SSA program specialist from the Social Security Administration. And then from the state level, we have our disability determination examiners. And then we also have our state and local law enforcement partners. They generally make up our CDI units. And again, as I indicated, there's sometimes we have more people that are a part of those units, in those particular areas. And the goal there too is, each one brings a certain expertise to the unit and what we're doing, and they work in a cooperative and a collaborative effort, to evaluate and investigate suspicious disability claims. And the other thing that I will also, you know, just like to mention and sort of talk about is that, you know, while we talk a lot about individual disability claims, you know, there's also a role for our units to investigate and identify attorneys, doctors, or other third parties who facilitate disability fraud schemes. You know, they sometimes, you know, we have cases that result in multiple claims that are fraudulent, where we have these individuals who have participated in an organized scheme to defraud SSA and its programs. You know, the role of the CDI units is, you know, what we want to do is to provide facts and information to help SSA and DDS, you know, personnel make accurate and timely, you know, claim decisions. You know, we know that these benefits are there for some of our most vulnerable individuals in society. So we want to make sure that we can help the agency make, again, timely and accurate disability decisions in order for these individuals who are entitled to receive their benefits, you know, that they so may so desperately need.
We talked about the MOU here was finalized in the fall of 2019. The program, I believe, was funded the next year here in the state of Idaho. So it's still really, really new in our state. But it sounds like this is a type of unit that exists and has existed in other parts of the country. Can you give me a little bit of history on it? And I'll put you on the spot just a little bit. How many similar units exist across the U.S.?
Sure. You know, this, like you said, the unit is you know, started in the state of Idaho in 2019, but the program in and of itself has been in existence since 1997. It started with a pilot with five CDI units. And then ultimately, based on the success of those five, I was on a recent call not too long ago. I call them the Fab Five. You know, if you have any basketball sort of history. They were the Fab Five. And so, you know, based on their success and experiences, the program has continually grown, you know, and caught the eyes of Congress, you know, such that, you know, in 2015, you know, Congress passed the Bipartisan Budget Act, which pretty much mandated that there be CDI coverage across 50 states and U.S. territories by October 1st of 2022. So as you can see, we're getting close to that date, that magical date where we're expected to have, you know, a CDI coverage in all 50 states and U.S. territories. And so to give you an idea of where we are right now on that mission, the CDI program currently consists of 49 units covering 47 states. We have, you know, coverage in the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, and the Northern Mariana Islands. So as you can see, we've continued to expand the program and to assist SSA in doing so. And we do plan to complete, you know, that mandate or comply with that mandate by, you know, October 1st, 2022, where we will bring on board Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Alaska to achieve full CDI coverage.
Those are the last three I was going to ask you. Okay. So you're optimistic that your goal will be met once they're on board.
Oh, absolutely. We're full steam ahead.
Don, how is the unit's work enhanced when a state joins? You know, this is in terms of the federal fraud, you could probably do that on your own, and I'm sure that the federal government has. But when you bring in a state like Idaho, how is that relationship, that operation enhanced when you have that partnership?
Well, as you know, partnerships aren't necessarily a new thing for a lot of federal agencies, to include the Social Security Administration. And, you know, in the Office of Investigations, we do value our partnerships. But the benefit is, you know, we jointly operate these units along with SSA, along with our state and local law enforcement partners, as well as the Disability Determination Service. And, you know, each one has a specific role that they play in the success of the units. You know, for example, our state DDS examiners play a role in determining whether individuals are eligible or whether they should continue to receive benefits. You know, so there's that vital role that they play using their expertise to identify cases of suspected fraud as well. SSA provides programmatic support to the CDI units, you know, and they assist in helping to understand, you know, how these cases should be managed and how we should review claims. And then there's the law enforcement partner. The law enforcement partner plays a huge role by providing investigative support and by assigning investigators to the units. And, you know, again, I'm in the Office of Investigations, and what we're talking about is fraud. You know, so the investigators, they go out, they conduct surveillance, they do field operations. I mean, they interview witnesses, and they also sometimes engage in interviewing the individuals who submitted their claims. So it is really a partnership. You know, we value the partnership with our state and local partners. And, you know, they're able to act as a force multiplier. You know, while, you know, we do have, you know, a number of, 1811s or special agents that work for us. I don't have to tell you, there's a lot of work that's out there. And so by, you know, partnering with our state and local partners, it does allow us to be a force multiplier and to actually, again, work to, you know, protect the integrity of SSA's programs, as well as the state programs that, you know, also are sort of aligned with what we do.
So far, Don, we've talked pretty generically about the programs and the benefits. Could you give us maybe an example so our audience better understands, if they don't already, what type of benefits that sometimes are abused?
Sure. You know, the CDI program is really geared towards disability benefits and making sure that we investigate the suspected fraud in that program. While, like you said, SSA also pays out retirement benefits and survivor benefits, the CDI program is really focused and geared towards disability payments and benefits. For example, you know, some of the cases that we get involved in, you know, you may have somebody who's trying to conceal their work activity, you know, in order to continue to collect disability benefits. You know, some of your listeners may have, you know, seen, you know, in the past where, you know, some individuals will, you know, claim that they're disabled, you know, receive disability benefits. And anytime you see them going to an appointment, a doctor's appointment, you know, they take the walker out of the trunk of the car and they're using that. But then, you know, after that appointment's over, they sort of put it back into the trunk of the car and, you know, and they go on about their life. So, you know, we have investigators. Some of those, we like to get in and do surveillance and investigate those cases. And so those are just a quick snapshot of some of the cases that we get involved in as far as the disability payment side of the house. And again, there are others, but you would probably be surprised at some of the things that some of our investigators have uncovered during their work in their assignments on the CDI program.
I asked one of the folks in our office who's part of the project, give me an example of the type or a recent case or a case. And I believe they mentioned that one of the investigators had done some surveillance and ended up following an individual down the highway. This individual had been collecting benefits for being blind, which, you know, as you probably know, it's difficult to drive down the road if you are truly, in fact, blind. So in that situation, my next question is, when abuse has been identified, what are our options in terms of recouping, potential prosecution, that sort of thing? What comes next?
Sure. So as you indicated, you know, the first part of that is collecting the evidence, right? You know, and what we do, we want to make sure that that we have the evidence to show that this person has attempted or is defrauding, you know, the Social Security Administration or the state programs, which are also a part of what we do. We have a couple of different options. You know, the one thing that we really look to do is, you know, criminal prosecution, as you mentioned, right? You know, our investigators, which is an advantage for having state investigators because it allows us to pursue sometimes criminal prosecution at the federal level as well as the state level. So that's another benefit that I may not have mentioned earlier in our conversation. But, you know, we do look to have criminal prosecution. There's what we call civil monetary penalties, meaning that, you know, the agency, our agency, the Office of the Inspector General, can go in and impose penalties for, you know, false statements that were made during the application process. And then there's also, you know, with the criminal prosecution, you know, the restitution that comes back that can be ordered by the court and having these individuals repay the money that they receive. And then there's also the ability to, you know, like I said, stop their payments to ensure that they're no longer receiving them. And there's other administrative sanctions that the agency, you know, the Social Security Administration can impose as well. But, you know, to your point, you know, one of the things that we like to see and highlight in the CDI program is, you know, those successful cases, so that maybe that'll be a deterrent to some of the others who, you know, there are individuals out there who may be thinking, yeah, maybe I can do this, or, you know, they know somebody who's been doing it and it's like, well, you know, they're doing it, why can't I? You know, our goal is to make sure that we, you know, send a deterrent factor as well, as we investigate these cases and report out on some of the highlights, you know, moving forward. We think that that's also a very important part of the unit's work.
Don, when this was discussed as an idea here in the state of Idaho, and of course, you know, funding in our state comes from the state legislature for something like this, which meant that we had to go to the legislature and have a conversation about this. And part of that conversation was, you know, viewed through the lens of an investment, that, you know, we're asking for some funding to help fund, in this case, these two positions out of the Office of the Attorney General to contribute to the CDI unit. And, you know, the return on the investment is the state will benefit by not paying out benefits to people who don't deserve them. Has that materialized in units like the one in Idaho and across the country? Are we seeing consistently across the board that return on investment?
Yes. And maybe in sort of take this in like parts, like you said, from the state. I am very familiar with, you know, a lot of state legislatures, you know, who are new to the program wanting to have, you know, have questions about, you know, how is that a benefit to the state? One of the things that we definitely talk about is that for the state, for their purposes, the Social Security Administration funds 100% of the CDI program. So, you know, in essence, you know, the state of Idaho and all of our other state and local partners, there's zero cost because they're reimbursed for, you know, the cost of salary for the employees that are assigned to the unit. You know, if there's vehicles, obviously the investigators that they, you know, that they need to get their job done. So that's it's a zero cost for the state, you know, when it comes to the, you know, to that aspect of it. And then, as you mentioned, you know, what's the return on investment is, a lot of times the individuals who are applying for disability benefits and who are approved, there's a lot of times there's an added state benefit, your Medicare, your Medicaid. Those benefits, you know, come along with that allowance for Social Security disability benefits. So again, those individuals aren't entitled to the actual payments being made by Social Security, then there's also the added benefit to the state that these individuals are not fraudulently receiving Medicare and Medicaid.
Can you talk about some statistics specific to the state of Idaho? And again, I know it's very new, but I think with it's been up and running long enough, there probably are some stats that you can share to kind of share with the audience how things have gone so far in the first couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As you indicated, the unit in Boise or in Idaho came on board in September of 2019. So the stats that I'll give you are from September 2019 through the end of December 2021. The Boise CDI unit has investigated 72 cases, resulting in over $1 million in SSA savings and over $1 million in non-SSA savings. So that Medicare and Medicaid piece for the state that I've talked about, that's the non-SSA savings that we look at. And so that's over $1 million since the unit came on board in September of 2019. That's such a huge success.
In preparing for this, I had a conversation with one of our investigators, and I said, you know, I know it's new, but in your estimate, how has it gone? And he used the words home run. He also said that he was thrilled with how quickly it got up and running and how quickly we started to see, you know, that return on the investment, the results. Do you oversee a lot of these, so asking specifically about, you know, the new one here in Idaho may not necessarily be fair, but have you seen the venture here in Idaho as a success so far from the federal perspective?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think that's a tribute to, you know, the partnership between, you know, the Office of the Inspector General, the Social Security Administration, the Office of the Attorney General there in Idaho, you know, and our state partner at DDS. I mean, it has definitely been a success and a home run. And, you know, the thing that I like to say is that, you know, when everybody comes together and understands, what the goal and the mission is, and everybody, contributes and collaborates to make sure that the units are successful, which is what we do across the country. We definitely consider it has been a home run in Idaho, as the investigator that you spoke to in your office. Sometimes when these units, initially start and get up and running, it takes a little bit of time. But, to say that, a unit the size of the one in Boise, and particularly in a state, like Idaho, I mean, obviously in some of our more populated areas, there's obviously more people, more claims, but to say that they've been able to accomplish the things that they have in such a short period of time is definitely, as from where I sit, as being the providing the oversight and the senior leadership over the CDI program, I am definitely happy and proud of what they've been able to do in that short period of time.
Excellent. Well, we're of course glad to hear that. Going back to the creation of the Fab Five back in 1997, I'm sure the Idaho unit doesn't today look like the units did back in the late 1990s. So everything evolves, everything changes and improves. I'm curious to understand how the CDI program in Idaho and across the country maybe continues to evolve here now that we're in 2022, and I guess the projects have been around for 25 years.
Sure. So one of the things I'll sort of highlight as we go into that is, since her confirmation in 2019, our Inspector General, Gail Innes, has, she recognized the value of the CDI program in protecting SSA's disability programs on behalf of the American people. So she's always, looked to, for opportunities to promote it nationally, to be able to provide the level of oversight that's needed. Obviously, when you're talking about 49 units across the country, different law enforcement partners and different entities that participate, there's also a level of consistency and a national perspective that we have been striving for. And Inspector General Innes has given us the support that we've needed to sort of move forward in that direction. And like you said, we started off with five, and now you're talking about 49 units, and we're getting close to the mandate. Some of the things that she's spearheaded and what we've done here in Baltimore, in 2020, under her leadership, she was able to get our office approved for additional senior executive leadership to actually oversee the program. So I will tell you the reason I'm sort of sitting here as a senior executive is because of her vision, her leadership, and her ability to recognize that this program and the value in it and making sure that it continues on into the future. One of the other things that we are working on now that is very important from where I sit is, historically, our field supervisors in the Office of Investigations have pretty much done double duty, if you will, right? They would supervise our offices that conduct our traditional investigations, and then they would also supervise our CDI units. So what we're doing right now and what we're working on is to provide more dedicated resources to the CDI program. Again, that falls right in line with IG Ennis's vision. I'm dedicated to the CDI program at the senior executive level. We're moving to where we have supervisors in the field who will be dedicated to CDI, providing focused effort on the work and engagement that the CDI units are doing. Again, that just shows the importance and the value that we place in our partnerships, as well as in the program in and of itself. So, as you said, anytime there's growth, you learn things and you try to improve, you create efficiencies, and those are some of the things that we're doing. On that reorganization note that I just mentioned, starting next week, we have reorganized our CDI units in the western part of the country under a single reporting structure for them. So they will have a dedicated special agent in charge that oversees those units, and each one of our supervisors at the field level will be dedicated to CDI. And so we look to sort of transition that across the country. Obviously, we wanted to start in the west. We'll move to the Midwest as well as to the East Coast. But those are some of the things that we're doing right now to strengthen the program, We work very closely with our DDS partners, our state and local law enforcement partners. So those are the things that we're doing to strengthen the program so that it can continue into the future.
Well, we appreciate the partnership. We appreciate the federal support. Like I said, I think across the office here, this has been viewed as a very positive development. So we thank you for all your inputs. Don, I have exhausted my list of questions that I had for you. Is there anything that you would like to add to our conversation that I haven't given you the opportunity to talk about?
No, I'll just add just a couple things. I mean, you know, like you said, we talk about the success of the program, and just to give you some stats, statistical accomplishments that we've had. I'll start with, last year during fiscal year 2021, the CDI program reported more than 86 million in projected savings to SSA's disability programs and approximately 76.5 million to our state, Medicare and non-SSA programs. So those are some stats from last year, again, which I find, also amazing. Continuing, we were all operating under the pandemic and under COVID. And then since inception, the CDI program in 1997, the CDI investigations have contributed to projected savings to taxpayers of approximately $7.7 billion and $4.3 billion in projected savings to SSA's Title II and Title 16 disability programs, and $3.4 billion in projected savings to our federal and state-related programs. So again, as you can see, it is a very successful program. It is actually one of SSA and OIG's most successful anti-fraud initiatives. We continue to see it grow and to protect the integrity of SSA's disability programs and the trust that the American people have in SSA. And I don't want to end the call without, thanking the Idaho Office of the Attorney General, the Idaho Disability Determination Service, and our regional SSA staff for their partnership and the hard work in making the Boise CDI unit a success. And I also want to just thank all of our partners who participate in the CDI program nationally. So really appreciate the partnership and thank you for the support.
Our guest today on Council for the State has been Don Jefferson. Don is the Deputy Assistant Inspector General for CDI Investigations. Don, thanks again.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us here on Council for the State. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and that it was helpful in sharing more information about the Office of the Attorney General and this portion of Idaho state government. Remember, previous episodes of the podcast are available in three ways. All episodes are archived at the Attorney General's website, ag.idaho.gov. They're also available through Apple Podcasts and Spotify. See you next time.